Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Kerri Miller. This is NPR News. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is going to have lots of FaceTime with Congress this week. He's scheduled to testify before three committees. But whatever Congress makes Zuckerberg do or not do, it doesn't change the fact that your life on Facebook is pretty vulnerable. How do you change that? Can you change it? As our guest joins us, we'll take your questions on protecting your data on Facebook. What do you want to know about that? Have you given up on that already? So as you think about the information that Facebook has about you, what do you want to know about how to manage it or delete it? Have you given up on the idea of privacy already because of Facebook? 651-227-6000 on Twitter. At Kerri NPR, Louise Metsakis covers security and social platforms for Wired magazine. And she's with us today from New York City. And Louise, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I read your piece in Wired where you talked readers through getting the data that Facebook has on them. The first thing you did was download your Facebook file. How big was it?
Right. So it was pretty big. It was really large. There was every single message I've ever sent, everyone I've ever been friends with, every photo, video I've ever uploaded or shared. So, over the decade that I've spent on the social platform, that ends up being a lot of data, more than I expected.
Do you know why Facebook is keeping all of that, all the videos, all the relationships about you? What's the purpose of that?
So part of it is for you, right? So you can have a history of, you know, everything you've posted. And part of it is so that they can collect a corpus of your life and to see, you know, where you've been and where you're going. You know, Facebook decides what stage of your life you're in. You know, it says that I'm starting my adult life, whatever that means. And it's collected, you know, every ad that you've clicked on, because that helps advertisers predict what you might click on next, right? So they need to have a continuation of your data and see, you know, where you're headed so they can predict what kind of advertisements you might be more likely to click on or buy products from in the future.
So you've just made me wonder, when you said that Facebook has declared that you are starting your adult life, if that's more of a signal to advertisers than it is to, you know, the relationships in your circle.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think that what people need to understand is that Facebook certainly has utility for you to connect with your friends and family, but it's first and foremost an advertising platform. That's how it makes money, and that's its sole purpose, is really to get you to see those advertisements.
Just a question about that before we get back to the nitty-gritty on how to protect your data, if you can. Do you think that's part of the outrage here, Louise, that we've all, like, the veil has lifted, and we all kind of see Facebook for what it really is, and people feel a little betrayed about the whole purpose of Facebook?
Yeah, I think it's almost cliche at this point, but I think that people are starting to realize that they're the product, and that's part of the reason why this platform is free, right? You know, it has all these great features, but the reason that you don't have to pay for it is that advertisers are paying to target you.
So the information that Facebook had in your file, what was this all information that you would have somehow provided directly to them just by, you know, by working through Facebook on some things? Or did they know things about you in that file that, you know, you thought, well, how would they have found that out?
So a lot of it was material that I had voluntarily provided, right? It's everyone I've been in a relationship with. It's everyone that I've been friends with on the platform. I voluntarily provided all that information. I made those connections. But then the inferences from those connections are things that I didn't provide. Like, for example, they've associated me with the goth subculture. I'm not sure why. They've associated me with being middle class. I don't think I ever declared being, you know, what my income level was, but that's kind of what they've decided from the information that I provided. So it's kind of the inferences on what you provide that you might not necessarily be aware of.
They're drawing conclusions about you. What's the upside? What's the downside of Facebook's conclusions about Louise Matsakis?
Right. So the upsides are that, you know, targeted ads can be useful, right? You know, it is a product or a service that you're interested in. It is something that you want to know about, a job opportunity maybe, or, a clothing brand that does appeal to you. But I think the downside is that you don't really know exactly how that data is being used, which is the whole scandal over Cambridge Analytica. You know, I think you should have a right to know whether or not your personal data is being used to influence a political campaign, for example. I think that's kind of the downside, is that you don't really know how it's being used.
Right. So I'm hearing from a listener on Twitter here, Jen, who is showing me how she's going through and looking at her own ad settings. And one of the things she says here is, see how Facebook characterizes your political leaning. This would be another one of those conclusions that Facebook is drawing about you. And she says, by going to account settings and ads, your information, review and manage your categories for U.S. politics. Now, that's like seven steps, Louise, just to get to what Facebook is saying about your own political leanings.
Right. I think Facebook has been rightfully criticized over the years for having their Facebook privacy settings be elaborate, right? It's really difficult to kind of go through and figure out how you want things configured. They said that they're going to be overhauling their privacy menu, so this is supposed to be getting easier to manage in the next couple of weeks. But for years, it's just been really difficult to know who can see your information, what kind of information is being collected, and by whom.
I mean, if you didn't do the work that you do for Wired, you know, and you're steeped in tech coverage and technology, would you have known how to do this on Facebook? Would you have known how to get your file and then find out, you know, the things within that file that you found out?
No, I don't think it's obvious. And I think what it's also important to point out is that the data goes back to when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
So there's so much information in here. And I really was not aware of what I was doing or what I was posting when I was that young. So now I'm much more cautious of the kind of information that I share. But 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I really didn't necessarily have an understanding of how that data was being used. And I think a lot of teenagers and a lot of people don't understand.
So when you learned that Facebook kept this list of everyone in your family and your friend's circle that you had, is it that you've interacted on Facebook or that you've mentioned on Facebook or that you've been tagged in some photo on Facebook? I mean, how wide is their reach, even if you're not directly providing that information to them?
Right. So they have every photo you've ever been tagged in. They have an entire history of your timeline, right? So everything you've ever posted, everything you've ever been tagged in, everything you've ever shared, the exact date you became friends with everyone that you're friends with on Facebook. You can see if you deleted that person and then re-added them later. For me, for whatever reason, in middle school, it was really cool to say you were in a relationship with your friends. So I don't know if Facebook has inferred my sexuality, maybe, because it shows that I've been in a relationship with men and women. I don't know what kind of inferences they're drawing from that. There are a lot of things. And I think that, over the course of an entire social, revolution of these platforms that I have on Facebook, it's really just kind of incredible. It's probably the most detailed collection of my life history, right? And I think that's kind of frightening to realize, whose hands is all of this information in.
Yeah, I mean, that's why in my question to listeners, have you kind of given up on this? And I do hear a lot of people say private. In fact, I've got a listener on Twitter here who's saying, since the early 2000s, I've been following an old credo, never do anything online you wouldn't want made public. No platform is 100% secure. Okay, you can know that intellectually, but it's different emotionally when you see your file, and then, as you say, you can't really control the people that will put their fingers on that information.
Right, and I think that's a great, credo to live by, but I think it's really hard to tell someone who's 14 or 15 that. I mean, I think, understanding who are using these platforms, it's really hard to tell someone who didn't grow up with a cell phone, who they get, their first Facebook account when they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s. It's hard to, give the people that digital literacy to understand what they might be sharing and how it might be used and who can see it.
I don't know if this is true. I don't know if Luke is kidding me here on Twitter or he's serious. He says, I'm a white guy with no kids, but Facebook lists me as a black woman with toddler and baby. Can this be changed? Can that be true, Louise, that Facebook has that so wrong?
I don't know if they're necessarily categorizing you that way. I didn't have that data in my file. But if you've liked certain Facebook pages associated with having kids or with being, you know, a specific ethnicity, Facebook might infer that for whatever reason. For example, Facebook seems to think that I'm bilingual and that I speak Spanish. I often get ads in Spanish and I don't speak Spanish very well.
Why?
So
can I just ask,
they can make mistakes.
Why would they have come to that conclusion? Can you, when you looked at your file, could you see any reason that Facebook would have concluded that about you?
Well, so they keep track of everywhere you go, right? If you have your location settings on. So it might have been that I was in Mexico and it just never, you know, went back to New York. When you land in a new country, they know that you've traveled somewhere. Facebook has data on everywhere you've ever been. They have every single IP address that you've ever logged into your account from. So
wow.
Even if you don't have your location settings on, they're tracking the exact computer location. You know, if you checked in at a hotel or, you know, a friend's computer when you visited them somewhere, they have, you know, a record of that. They also have the IP address of every photo you've ever uploaded. So if you uploaded a photo, you know, from Mexico, they're aware of where you're located.
Jeez. Louise Matsakis is with us, if you've just tuned in. She's a staff writer for Wired. She covers security and social platforms. And on this day that Mark Zuckerberg is on Capitol Hill, let the flogging begin, right, Louise? We're talking with Louise about how she looked, how she downloaded her own file. She wanted to know what Facebook knew about her. So she went on Facebook and downloaded her file. And she's written a piece about how to do that, and she's explained that a bit to us. And then what it meant that Facebook was making these assumptions and conclusions and just gathering all this data and putting it into her file. So we're talking with her about that. If you have questions about how to get some of this information on Facebook and what to do about it, we could grab a few questions. 651-227-6000. And, of course, I'm hearing from you on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. This is an interesting question, Louise, from Tom on Twitter. He says, how is Facebook any different than broadcast TV? And, you know, I've thought about this. He says, shows target select populations of people and advertisers pay for that service. Facebook is a sophisticated extension of that, where the users are willingly giving access to their information. What's true or not true about that?
So I think that, you know, that's definitely a good point, is that we've had targeted advertising for decades and, you know, isolating this as a Facebook problem, I think, is incorrect. But I think what is important to understand that's different about Facebook is that you purchase a TV, you have a cable subscription, you've made, you know, an agreement, you understand at least somewhat that you're going to be served these advertisements, and you're, in exchange, you're going to get TV shows, right? But Facebook tracks people who aren't even on Facebook. You know, Facebook has my mom's phone number. My mom doesn't have a Facebook account. I think that's important for people to understand. And also, Facebook doesn't just track what you do on Facebook. Facebook tracks your activity across the internet. And I think that's important for people to understand because, you know, if you turn off the TV, you've turned off the TV. But if you close the Facebook tab and you open up another tab, Facebook might still be tracking you. So I think the experience is far more invasive than just, you know, a regular TV advertisement.
What can you... Is there anything simple you can do to get Facebook to stop tracking you other than just stop using it?
So both on Firefox and Chrome, which are two browsers, you can download browser extensions which prevent Facebook from tracking you when you're no longer on the site. And I think also the biggest thing is that, you know, that credo, don't share something if you don't want it made public or if you don't want that to be used. You know, I've seen situations where people have not revealed to their family that they're pregnant, but Facebook is already serving them, you know, ads about kids' toys and about, you know, baby products because Facebook has already figured that out. So I think, you know, realizing that what you share is going to be used in a way that you might not realize and thinking about that. And also just going in and looking at your privacy settings and really thinking about, you know, who can see who you're friends with, who can see your tagged photos, who can see your profile pictures. You know, Facebook makes it fairly simple to narrow the audiences. Like, I have it so that only my friends can see that information. People, you know, random people in the public aren't able to access that. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily know who can see that information. I think that's a really great place to start.
You remember that story about Target, though, with the pregnancy, too, with, you know, somebody was in Target and buying, I don't know, something that you would buy for a baby and had not announced the pregnancy to their parents, and because Target scoops up all that information and keeps it, coupons were coming for baby items to the family house. You know,
right? That was a really famous story,
exactly.
And I think, yeah, it's, it it's important for people to realize that we live, you know, in a data brokerage economy where, you know, your data is very valuable to a lot of different companies. And it's really difficult. And I think that what we really need is a national privacy law. I think it's really going to be difficult for individual consumers to do much about this.
I want to take a quick call here from Carrie in St. Paul. Hi, Carrie. Your question for Louise.
Hi, I just had a question about Facebook and how it relates to Instagram. I am not on Facebook and have never had an account, but I am on Instagram, and I know that they own Instagram. And
right.
So just curious about how much of that waterfalls into Instagram and your data there.
Yeah, good question. Louise?
So it's very similar. So Facebook is quietly also narrowing some of its privacy rules on Facebook to make it a little bit harder for data to be collected about on Instagram, I mean, because they do realize that they have similar problems on Instagram. It's the same thing. It's a data platform where they're targeting ads at you based on things that you've liked, things that you've clicked. Brands, for example, they're now reforming this, but brands, for example, could see all the people that you followed and they could target ads based on you. You know, like you like this clothing brand. We're also a clothing brand, so we're going to target ads at you. And you've followed that account. So they're doing the same exact thing. You know, Instagram is monetized in the same way that Facebook is. I think that there's this misconception that Instagram or WhatsApp are somehow different than Facebook. And, you know, it's the same parent company.
Jeez,
and I think that's important for people to realize.
No, I didn't know. I use WhatsApp when I'm overseas. I didn't know Facebook owned WhatsApp, which means they're collecting information off of WhatsApp when I'm using it. Right?
Right. So they're collecting metadata from WhatsApp. Yeah, that was a big controversy when they made the acquisition because WhatsApp was a privacy-focused app. And, you know, they weren't collecting much information.
Right.
Facebook started collecting that metadata, which in most cases for most users is not very harmful. But if you're, you know, a privacy activist, if you are a journalist in certain countries, I wouldn't recommend that you use WhatsApp. I think that there are safer options for you if you're just interested in secure messaging.
This is really good to know. One last question here, Louise. How do you permanently delete your file from Facebook? And if you stay off of Facebook, does Facebook just find other ways to start building a new file about you?
So Facebook can collect information from you, from your friends and family, if they have your phone number saved and they've saved your contact. They've saved their contact list or shared their contact list with Facebook, so they might still have information on you even if you delete your account. But if you delete your Facebook account, they will remove the data. You can also go back and just remove select things that you don't want to have on the platform anymore. Like I went and deleted a lot of photos. I deleted a lot of old statuses. Again, there are online tools you can use like browser extensions, which can help you to bulk delete this data. You know, if you just want to get rid of everything that you posted when you were a teenager, you can do that. And there are tools you can use to do that. And Facebook has promised that in the next couple of weeks, it's going to make those processes easier. And they also said that you're going to be able to download your Facebook data and you can store it somewhere else, you know, maybe in a Google Drive or in Dropbox. So if you do want to delete your account, but you don't want to delete all that information because it's, you know, the history of your life, you'll be able to store it somewhere else more easily is what the social network has promised.
Louise, this was helpful. Thanks much. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Louise Matsakis is a staff writer for Wired, and she covers security and social platforms.